This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Well, welcome to the night sky segment for June 2010. Of course, it isn't dark for very long. In fact, in the northern parts of the United Kingdom, up in Scotland, it never gets totally dark around the midsummer day. So let's use the few hours that we can. The stars that you can see once it's got dark, and that's getting on towards 11 o'clock, to be honest now. First of all, up in the right of the south, you've got a rather bright star called Arcturus, and that's in the constellation of Bootes. To the left of that, fairly high up again, is a rather nice constellation called Hercules. Four stars make up a keystone, like the rock they have at the top of a bridge, which sort of eases out the forces. And if you look with binoculars and go up the right-hand side of the keystone, you should see a little fuzzy object. And that's a rather lovely globular cluster called M13. Below Hercules is a fairly empty area of the sky. It's actually the constellation of Ophiuchus. But below that, if you have a good southern horizon, and particularly if you live in the south of England, you'll see a bright red star, which is Antares, the brightest star in the constellation of Scorpius. And over to its left is Sagittarius. The brightest stars make up the shape of a teapot. But sadly, we don't see these very well. If you could imagine water pouring out of the spout, as it would do if you were pouring a cup of tea, then it actually falls through a rather lovely open cluster. There are two there, M6 and M7, and with binoculars they might well show up. And if you take the top of the teapot, a little bit to the right and up, you'll see a rather nice luminous region. It's called the Lagoon Nebula, M8. So some nice binocular objects down there in this wonderfully rich part of the Milky Way, looking towards the centre of the galaxy. Up to the left of Sagittarius is the constellation of Aquila the Eagle, with its bright star Altair. Above that, and a touch to the left, is the lovely constellation of Cygnus the Swan. Its brightest star, the tail of the swan, is Deneb. And down a bit to its right is a small constellation of Lyra, with its bright star Vega. Those three stars make up what is called the Summer Triangle, a name I think that was given to them by Patrick Moore. Quite a nice thing to look for, if it's really dark, no moon, is to take your binoculars and sweep slowly from Altair up to Vega. You'll cross what's called the Cygnus Rift. It's a part of the Milky Way which is relatively dark because of a great cloud, probably of carbon and silicon. But against that dark cloud, you might come across a rather nice little asterism or cluster. It's called Brocky's cluster, but we all call it the coat hanger because it looks just like an upside-down coat hanger. That's worth certainly looking for. So a lovely region of the sky, the Cygnus, Aquila and Lyra region, is one of the most beautiful parts of the sky we can see from our northern hemisphere. And high overhead, you've got the constellation of Ursa Major, and of course the brightest stars make up what is called a plough. Again, with binoculars, if you look at the central star of the handle, you'll actually see it's two, the two stars Alcor and Mizar. So I know there isn't much darkness, but if you do stay up late and have a look, it can be well worth it. Okay, so what about the planets? Well, in fact, it's a good month for planets, if you don't mind getting up early as well as staying up a bit late. Jupiter, at the beginning of June, it rises in the east at about 2:30 British Summer Time. It's magnitude minus 2.3, so it's quite bright. But it's actually fairly low in the southeast before dawn because the ecliptic is at quite a shallow angle to the horizon, so it's actually not very, very high. You'll see it all right, and with a telescope you'll make out its four Galilean moons, but probably it's best to wait a month or two to see it well. Saturn, on the other hand, is high in the sky after sunset. I looked at it just the other night, and in fact it was the night when the rings were as close to edge on as they get. They were 1.7 degrees away from the line of sight, so just a very thin line was visible crossing the disk. Well, they've now started to open out, and by the end of June they'll be about 2.1 degrees to be precise, relative to our line of sight. And gradually over the next few years they'll open up again. This is the first time in 15 years that we've been beginning to see the northern face of the rings. Of course, because those rings are virtually edge on, Saturn isn't as bright as it usually is, and its magnitude is basically plus 1.0, rising to plus 1.1 during the month. So it stays pretty constant, not as bright as it usually is. So that's a nice one to see after sunset. You can still see Mercury during the first week or so of June. Again, it's a morning object. It rises about 1 hour before sunrise, and the magnitude is -1, so it's quite bright. But as I've said, the ecliptic's at a very shallow angle with the horizon, so about half an hour before sunrise, perhaps the best time to look for it, it'll only be 5 degrees above the horizon. You'll need to use binoculars and have a very good low eastern horizon to pick it out. Not the best time to see Mercury, but it is there if you want to try. Well, Mars, which has been a wonderful object in the early part of this year, still remains visible, magnitude about plus 1.1, gradually getting a bit fainter during the month. It's in the southwest after sunset, and at the beginning of June, it's actually close to the star Regulus in Leo, and I'll come to that as a highlight. It's actually moving quite quickly, about half a degree a day, the diameter of the moon's width, eastwards through Leo, gradually dropping down along the ecliptic. Sadly, its angular size has now gone down to about 6 arc seconds, so you'd be mightily lucky to spot any details on the surface. It'll just look a rather nice sort of salmony pink colour. Well, if you've looked towards the west after sunset in the last week or so, you couldn't have failed to see Venus. It's really prominent. It's got a magnitude of minus 3.9, and that's the brightest object in the sky after the moon. So you can't really miss it. No one shouldn't say that, but you really can't. The angular size is 13 arc seconds. It's quite nice to look at with a small telescope just to see that. And that's gradually getting bigger as it nears us. At the moment, you actually see more than half phase. You see not a full phase now, but it's a fairly gibbous object. And it was observations like this that showed Galileo that in fact Venus must be able to go behind the moon. It wasn't going in an epicycle between the Earth and the moon, as in the Ptolemaic system. It had to be on the far side of the moon, otherwise you couldn't see these fuller phases. Its brightness stays pretty constant almost all the time we see it, and that's because as it gets nearer to us, less of its disk is illuminated, but it's getting bigger, and the effective reflecting area stays constant. So it's about minus 3.8 to minus 4 virtually the whole time it's in the sky. So you can have some fun looking at the planets this month. Well, what about highlights? Well, there aren't an awful lot, but I mentioned Mars a little earlier. Probably on the 5th and 6th of June is a good time to try, just after sunset. It's very close to Regulus, and that's in the constellation of Leo. And on June the 6th, it'll be just less than 1 degree to the upper left of Regulus. And it should make a rather nice colour contrast, that pinky orange or orangey yellow colour of Mars contrasting with the blue-white colour of Regulus. So I think that's well worth looking out for. Now, something I'm going to include every month from now on is an object which has been imaged by schools using the 2-metre Fox telescopes. They've got one in Hawaii and one in Australia. And this month I've chosen the Ring Nebula M57, and that is in the constellation of Lyra, below Vega. To find out where it is and a bit more about it, you can go to the star section of the webpage. Just put night sky into Google. On the upper left of that webpage is a link to what's called the Astronomical A-List, something I set up some years ago now, 50 of the best objects in the sky. And M57, the Ring Nebula, is one of those. It looks like a little smoke ring through a telescope. You don't really see any colour, but you see that in the images. And it surrounds a little white star right at its heart. And that is a white dwarf star, or will become so, and it's the remnant of a star about the size of our Sun that's come to the end of its life. It's blown off the outer parts of the star that form this lovely ring shape, or perhaps it's a shell, and the central part has collapsed down under gravity until something called electron degeneracy pressure prevents any further collapse, and it remains something like the size of the Earth. An interesting object, M57. And I've given a link to the Fawkes telescope page. If you're a school teacher, then you could use it yourselves to make some wonderful images. Well, June the 20th, if you can stay up till midnight, Venus is in fact passing just above the Beehive Cluster. That'll make a nice view, won't it, with binoculars. The Beehive Cluster, also M44, the 44th object in Charles Messier's catalogue, sometimes called Price of Pay. And it's a nice binocular object. Have a look, you'll see Venus as well. I started saying something about the moon. Lots of you will have small telescopes, and the moon is actually a nice thing to look at. A lot of people don't like the moon, because when it's there in the sky, they can't see faint objects. But I say, go for it, enjoy looking at it. And around the 19th and 20th, the terminator, which is where one sees things best, is close to what's called the Alpine Valley, which actually cuts across the Apennines, close to the crater Plato, which is a rather nice, dark, very featureless, flat crater. The Apennines, they run down to that rather nice young crater called Copernicus, so it's a very pretty part of the moon. The Alpine Valley is about 79 miles long, about 7 miles wide, and as I show in one of the images, it has a little rill running along the bottom. Very, very hard to see. It's quite a challenge to observe, but if you've got a big telescope, you can have a try. So finally, we have a comet in the sky. I mentioned it in last month's highlights. It's called Comet R1 McNaught. It's actually running initially below Andromeda, where it is at the very start of the month, and then below through Perseus and to Auriga. The best thing to say is go onto the night sky site. I've got a little chart there which shows you where it will be throughout the month. And in fact, it passes some quite bright stars on its way and gets very close to Capella about the 25th or so of the month. And it means it'll be quite an easy object to find. However, as you go through the month, it's getting lower in the sky and the sky will be brighter. So probably around the middle of the month, 14th, 15th, 16th, when the moon is new, you'll have the best chance of spotting it. Nice to see a comet. It should be about 6 magnitude, so not too bad to see if you've got a pair of binoculars. Okay, let's finish up then with a little bit about the southern sky. I'm going to be going there in a few weeks' time, so this is of real interest to me too. If at about 9 o'clock at the beginning of June you look to the south, and that's of course the part of the sky, sadly, we cannot see from our northern latitudes, you've got a rather lovely view of the Milky Way arcing across from the east to the west. Highest up in the Milky Way is in fact the Southern Cross in Crookes. Centaurus is to its left, Carina and the False Cross, and it's actually also called the Diamond Cross. That's a new one to me, but that's what it can be called. They'll be fairly high in the sky. Below them, you'll see, almost due south, the small magnetic cloud. Up to its right, the large magnetic cloud. And that's towards the direction of the star Canopus. Setting towards the west is the very bright star Sirius. And you've got, seen the other way up to us, I suppose, Scorpius and Sagittarius rising in the east. So you've got a lot longer to observe the heavens over our summer, your winter months, so do enjoy doing that. Let me just highlight one little spot, which is actually rather lovely, and I have observed it. It's in Scorpius, and it is just above the region of Zeta 1 and Zeta 2 Scorpii, a rather lovely double star that has a very nice colour contrast, a reddish star and a bluish one. But not far above it is a lovely little cluster of stars. It's NGC 6231. And up curving over to the left is a rather nice region of nebulosity. It's called IC 4628. In fact, it was at a star party in 1983, someone said it looked like a comet. The stars might have been the nucleus, Zeta 1, Zeta 2, 6231, looking a little bit like the coma that you have around a cometary nucleus, and then the tail arcing up to the left. There's actually a rather spread out region of stars as well, and then you've got this rather nice nebulosity. So that's a very, very pretty region of sky, and in fact it's one of the most magnificent binocular fields in the entire sky. So find Zeta 1, Zeta 2 Scorpii, and have a look at what is sometimes called the false comet. Good hunting.